Hello and welcome to Ask the Vet. I'm Beth Broom and I'm here today with Dr. Melissa Gislason from Alpine Animal Hospital. Hello, Melissa.
Hello.
Or should I say Dr. Gislason?
Melissa's just fine.
Okay. So I just want to tell everybody this is a call-in show, so please feel free to give us a call with any animal-related questions, and the number here is 963-2976. Today we are going to talk about the human-animal bond. Of course, your questions, like I said, don't have to be related to our topic. Anything animal is fine. I know Dr. Gislason, or Melissa, excuse me, we have pets for a reason. Pets being large animal, small animal, exotics, etc. And they've done a lot of studies recently about what having pets does for us. And I think that, it looks like, there's a lot of topics we're going to talk about today, but the first one I want to talk about is children. And why is it good for kids to live with pets?
So there's lots of benefits. Obviously, we all know that. There's, I think, 80 million houses in America with pets now. So
wow.
It's not uncommon. So having a pet in a child's life can do a lot for as far as development goes.
Mm-hmm.
It can even help with things like autism.
Sorry,
Beth, I already went there.
Oh, darn. That was going to be a question for later.
So it can help with development, but it can also help with the simple things, allergies.
Interesting, because I know a lot of people seem to be scared of having pets because they don't want their kids to get allergies. That's a myth, hey?
A little bit. So it depends on when they're introduced to the pets. So when children, young babies, infants are introduced to pets at a very young age, their immune system starts to see the allergens, starts to see the dander, the hair, the
mm-hmm.
saliva
mm-hmm.
At a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows them to kind of start to desensitize themselves to it. So little tiny doses every single day, even from day one as a baby, is going to help as their immune system develops.
That's interesting.
And hopefully minimize things like allergies to dogs or cats.
Yeah, I know cats is a big one. I feel like a lot of people have allergies to cats even more so than dogs.
No idea why that is.
I don't either. Just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show, 963-2976. Give us a call if you have any animal-related questions. So I was doing some reading on this topic, and speaking of reading, it sounds like there's a lot of places for animals in the classroom, specifically for young kids. Touch on that for me, if you would, please.
Definitely. So children act differently around dogs or any animal for that matter than they do around adults.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Adults can be intimidating. Adults can be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
They can make them feel more insecure. So a lot of times being able to read to a dog is a lot easier for a child to pick up the book and get those words out
mm-hmm.
Than it is to read to a human,
mm-hmm.
to read to an adult who may criticize.
Or even their peers, right?
Exactly.
Or worse, their peers, maybe.
Maybe. So yeah, it can be kind of even more comforting for them to sit down and pick up a book and read to a dog
mm-hmm.
Because the dog's not going to be there to judge them. They're just taking it all in.
Right. And I realized that they actually now have sort of different local libraries, local here and wherever, have set up programs for dogs to come in and be read to by children. So that's pretty cool if your kid has any issues with reading aloud or just reading in general. Okay, so since you discussed autism lightly, I have a friend with a young son who's autistic who they have had a lot of struggles with as he's gotten older. And they recently got him a service dog. Talk to me about what the role is of the service dog for a child with autism.
It can definitely help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's by no means going to make everything better.
No, for sure.
Or easier for that matter. But it can help with some of the little things.
Mm-hmm.
It can kind of encourage talking, make them feel a little bit more comfortable to say something. Mm-hmm. It's physical contact. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easier to pet a dog or mm-hmm. hug a dog than it is to hug a person. Mm-hmm. It can be the simple kind of little things where they can start to, I guess, get some comfort level with things like that.
Mm-hmm. I know this particular dog has actually been trained to press up against the young boy when he has a moment of, like, where he kind of gets over anxious and almost has a fit. The dog pushes his body against the boy against a wall or a flat surface. I like that squeezing feeling. That's calming for a lot of people with autism. The dog actually does. That was trained to do that, so that was pretty cool.
Yep. Dogs can do all sorts of cool things.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like now they're even talking about dogs smelling cancer in people. Are you at all familiar with this this thing I've heard about?
I have heard of it. Yeah. I think dogs are really susceptible to picking up on little nuances that we don't necessarily know about.
Mm-hmm.
Their sense of smell is incredibly developed compared mm-hmm. to ours.
Because blood sugar is another one for diabetics, and seizures is another one
mm-hmm.
where assistance dogs can come into play, yep, correct?
Definitely. So there are dogs that are trained out there to pick up when people's blood sugars levels are dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trained to alert their owners that something's going on with their sugar levels.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also help with not only upcoming possible seizures, but some dogs are even trained to act as kind of support for when their owners are having a seizure.
Oh, wow.
They can actually lay under them so they're not traumatizing their head.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Just want to remind everyone, I know there's so many listeners right now that are dying to call in to 963-2976 and ask Melissa Gislason, Dr. Gislason, some question, any question animal related. Doesn't have to be on the topic of the human-animal bond, but please give us a call. So off the topic of children and on to the topic of seniors, talk to me about how animals can play a role in a senior's life.
There's a lot of ways. It depends on if we're dealing with, you know, more medical conditions like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But they play a role of companionship.
Mm-hmm.
They play a role of companionship. They also keep them active.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big one as we get older. If you have a dog, you're going to have to go outside.
Yep.
Or
I would hope so. Anyway.
They're linked together. So they can help with health as they get older. And keeping them active. There's also studies now with Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
And dementia patients that patients, I guess, when they're around animals, they tend to eat better. Yeah. They tend to have a better daily routine
mm-hmm.
And keep weight on instead mm-hmm. of losing weight all the time.
Yep.
And they're generally less anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of anxiety that goes along with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. And I think little ways that we can help, if it's, you know, they're not necessarily going to be able to take care of a dog on their own.
Sure.
But that's kind of what therapy dogs can be for.
Right, right. I saw this interesting study that they did. I think it was over a month's time where they had Alzheimer's patients watching an aquarium full of fish, and over the month the people started eating better and then gaining weight. And I know that's a hard thing for people with Alzheimer's to eat and sustain their weight. So even as something as simple as a fish aquarium, I know we don't want to make this all about dogs, cats. I've been to old folks' home that has a resident cat.
Definitely.
Those cats tend to be severely obese because every person,
lots of treats.
Every person thinks they need to eat and they all need to feed them. But that's a happy cat. And there's also horses. You know, there's a couple horse therapy programs in this valley. And, you know, for everything from young people to, you know, adults. What's your take on horse therapy?
Love it.
Love it. That's a good answer. That's good. Solid answer.
I mean, I think, again, things like that can help with a sense of purpose, a sense of security, and also, it builds confidence to mm-hmm. ride a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you feel good about yourself. It helps with anything from depression to social anxiety, mm-hmm. Generalized anxiety.
There's a whole eating disorder facility in southern Arizona, and it's all horse-based therapy, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
With the whole confidence, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, horses, dogs in particular, are now being used a lot for PTSD, specifically people coming back from war zones. Can you touch on that at all?
I mean, again, it kind of goes back to kind of their role as emotional support.
Mm-hmm. So you believe in that, you know, I know we're seeing more and more people with the plane issue. I'm going to take my dog on the plane and it's my emotional support dog. And everybody rolls their eyes because are they full of crap or not? Do you think there really is an emotional support dog?
Definitely.
Okay.
And there's definitely a sense of calm that these dogs are trained to bring.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not necessarily always a fully trained, amazingly well-behaved dog. But a lot of times they serve a much bigger purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If they can prevent kind of an attack of the kind of post-traumatic stress,
mm-hmm.
Well worth it,
mm-hmm.
Especially kind of enclosed, confined spaces.
Like a plane.
Yeah.
Yep. Which brings anxiety to a lot of people.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everybody should fly with their animals. And maybe one day we'll open an airline that can do that.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I would be a flight attendant for that airline.
I could see that.
Yeah, that would be fun. Serve alcohol, pet dogs.
But I definitely think there is a true role for emotional support.
Okay. So for anyone who's listening, all tens and tens of you, I'm just kidding. Don't look at them twice when you see them on the plane and they have that emotional support dog, because, you know, I'm sure they need it. And it's a very important thing that we all, I think, tend to judge a little too much. just want to remind everybody, this is a call-in show. Call, ask Dr. Gislason questions, any animal related question, 963-2976. Okay. Well, we've covered a lot so far. You know, what can the average dog owner do to increase their pet animal bond? I mean, a lot of us have pets, and what can we do to kind of make our time with our pets better?
Whatever makes them happy. Finding activities that you both love.
Okay.
It just reinforces that companionship between the two. And again, it's not just dogs, that's cats. If it's your cat absolutely loves to play with a laser pointer, play with a laser pointer. Mm-hmm. It builds that bond between you guys. If your dog loves to play fetch. If mm-hmm. it's frisbee, play frisbee. Mm-hmm. Just find those little things that make them happy and that build that bond and get them excited to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to build that relationship that benefits both of them.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that if your pet has habits that are non-building to the bond, that maybe those would be things you would want to seek help to try to address and not just endure and tolerate?
Definitely.
Okay.
If there's something going on that's making you miserable, it's definitely something worth investigating.
Because you really should enjoy your time with your pet.
Exactly. I mean, we don't have pets to avoid them.
Right.
We have them to better ourselves and to hopefully better them.
Right.
I hope to provide a good life for my pets. And in turn, they make my life infinitely better.
Right. Right. So if you have, I think a lot of people have dogs that, you know, don't walk well or don't do this well or that well. If it's a frustration, address it. So, you know, seek help so that you enjoy your time with your pet and you're not just consistently frustrated, because that's not why we have them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if your favorite thing to do is go out and walk with your dog and your dog is limping or getting slower as they're getting older, have it checked out. There's yep. definitely things that can be done for that. Mm-hmm. If your dog likes to lay on the couch with you and they can't jump up on the couch anymore, mm-hmm. check it out.
Or if they're lunging at the end of the leash and dragging you down the street, there's also things you can do to get help with that. And we laugh, but seriously, there's people to help you with any of these problems. So don't just endure, because you should be enjoying your time with them. All right. Well, what other human animal bond topics did you have to discuss today, Dr. Gislason?
So, I mean, there's other things that we benefit from too, not necessarily just mental health advancements with having a pet, but they help with cardiovascular health.
Right.
The more that we are up and moving, the better off our cardiovascular health is going to be. Yep. There's even studies that show that having a pet lowers your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can. I mean, there's a possibility you don't need a medication.
Right. You get active.
So, I mean, you get active and they give you that sense of calming that can actually lower your overall blood pressure.
Oh, look, we have a caller. Okay. One moment. Hello. Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
I'm wondering if there's local resources for somebody to find out where, for instance, somebody could find out about resources for dogs for autistic people or somebody that's having seizures. Is there local resources or are they more like web-based?
I'm sure there's probably, I guess I don't know exactly who locally would be kind of the best resource for that. But definitely probably the best place to start looking is through, there's actually an organization that's called the Human Animal Bond Research Institute. And that's probably going to be a good resource to kind of start the process of looking. And then there's definitely kind of training groups out there that actually train the pets for these specific purposes.
I'm not aware of anything specifically local for that.
And your veterinarian is there to help you with this process. I don't have the resources off the top of my head, but I as one veterinarian and is definitely willing to, you know, do a little bit of the legwork and help find those resources.
Yeah.
So it could make sense for somebody to come to Alpine to find out.
Definitely.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, back to the cardiovascular help. I read something about a survival rate that pet owners, not just dog owners, but pet owners were 94% higher, like 94% survivors a year after a heart attack versus 72% survival with no pets. So that just speaks to, I don't know, exercise,
it gets you healthier.
Calming.
It helps. Sometimes it's even a sense of purpose.
Yeah, I think that's important.
It's somebody to live for.
Yeah.
Somebody to do better for.
Someone to come home to if
exactly.
you're single. And
yep. There's lots of benefits that that you can have, especially recovering from a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they say lowering blood pressure, triglycerides, fewer doctor visits, decreases loneliness, reduces depression.
Yeah, and on average, having a pet or households with pets save about, over $11 billion in healthcare costs a year.
Which is awesome, especially because insurances suck.
That's another topic.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. Just to remind everyone, it's still a few minutes to call in. 963-2976. This is a call-in show. Anything animal related, please give us a call and ask Dr. Gislason. what was I gonna? Anything else you wanted to touch on, Dr. Gislason? I mean, I think, you know, there might be a lot of people who can't either afford, don't have the location they're living at that they can have a pet, but they still love animals and want to be involved and gain all those positive things we're talking about. What should those people do?
I would say volunteer. There's a lot of shelters. There's a lot of rescue groups in mm-hmm. the area. And they need help.
Yeah.
Volunteer. Mm-hmm. You can walk a dog. Mm-hmm. You can ask a neighbor if they want you to walk their dog. There's lots of options out there to volunteer. Mm-hmm. Go to Crown Mountain Park. There's a lot of dogs mm-hmm. out there to get a little interaction with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even a lot of animal shelters now have these big cat rooms where you can just go in and it's all these cats that get along with each other and you can just, you know, pet the cats.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, it helps socialize the cats, mm-hmm. And it's helpful for people to spend that time with them.
Yeah. Fostering is also another option for, you know, I mean, a lot of shelters are happy to even send an animal out on a weekend foster. It's like a little weekend getaway for the dog. More time in a home, out of a cage, just helps that animal gain more, you know, good behavior and gets them out of a cage for a weekend. That's kind of a nice thing, even if you can't. You travel for work or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And definitely the dog walking is a big thing. A lot of these dogs don't get enough exercise.
Yeah. And if you're looking for a way to get exercise and you don't like to go for a run or you don't want to go for a bike ride, mm-hmm. walking a dog is fun.
Yeah.
And there's a reward to it. It's not just doing something for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be in New Orleans next week, and there's a place that I go every time I'm there, and I walk dogs for an hour at least every day,
mm-hmm.
because why not?
Those resources are here.
Yeah, and it's everywhere.
Yeah, so, definitely.
You know, get your calming animal fix, even if you can't afford to own one or don't have the time or whatever. What else would you like to discuss in regards to the human-animal bond, Dr. Gislason?
I mean, it's really why we do what we do. Veterinary medicine is there to support your animal so that they can be with you longer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 20 years ago, a lot of dogs in the household were not necessarily in the household. They were working dogs, and things have changed dramatically as far as pet care goes. And,
oh, yeah.
They're really, most dogs, I would say, are considered members of the family.
I think even a lot of the local ranchers have now changed their ways a little bit. A lot of these older ranchers come in with their little old cattle dogs that now sleep inside, and, you know, you can see how bonded they are to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cute.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's why we do what we do. We don't just do it to make the dog feel better. We do it because that dog's important.
Mm-hmm.
They're important to us. They're important to their owners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we want all of the relationships to thrive. And the whole topic of this was kind of in order to celebrate National Pet Week.
And when is that?
That was actually last week.
Last week, okay.
So it's the first full week of May. So we're celebrating pets and all the benefits that they have for us.
We could celebrate them all month.
We could.
I think that's a great idea. My dogs would be very happy to be celebrated all month, as would my cat.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is your last chance to call in, 963-2976. Otherwise, we're about to wrap it up here at Ask the Vet. But I think the take home is, spend as much quality time with your pets as you can. You know, you both gain something from it. They gain a lot. You also stand to gain a lot. And if you're having any issues, don't just deal with it. Seek help so that you can improve your bond with your dog, cat, horse, cow, goat.
Goats are very popular. Overcoming the challenges can make the bond better.
Absolutely. If you get a dog with especially behavioral challenges and you can see improvement, I can personally say that is, it's an awesome, you know, awesome feeling.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Thanks for listening to Ask the Vet.
Thank you.